This article is entitled The Virtual Church, ELC Communities Grapple with the Future of Digital Worship. It's written for us by Stephanie Grimaldi, who is a freelance writer living in Antioch, Illinois. Bounce around the internet for a while and you'll catch wind of how virtual reality experiences, such as those sought in the metaverse, are supposed to change the world, and soon. Pre-COVID-19, these conversations might not have meant much to congregations, but since the outbreak of the pandemic, which forced nearly all congregations to close their doors at some point and made going digital one of the only ways to connect with congregants, conversations about the digital future have taken on new meaning for the church. Every church dealt with this and had its own story regarding what decisions they came to during the pandemic, said Craig Mueller, a pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Chicago. He said nearly every church is continuing some kind of worship presence online, even if they weren't doing it before, so it really is a whole new world. Today, some churches are expressing further interest in that whole new world in the context of the metaverse, a 3D virtual world accessed when a person straps on a virtual reality headset. The technology gives them the sensation of stepping inside a virtual community, which could easily be a church, some spiritual leaders have said. And though some congregations are sprinting toward the latest in digital church, most remain comfortably in hybrid mode, offering both in-person and online opportunities to gather. Some are slowly moving back into pre-COVID ways of existing, almost exclusively in person. Is there a right or a wrong way for churches to assemble in a post-pandemic future? Deanna Thompson, director of Lutheran Center for Faith, Values, and Community at St. Olaf College in Northfield, Minnesota, says the pandemic just exploded our sense of what the church is, what being connected to people is, what community looks like, and there's no one-size-fits-all solution. In his book, Anybody There? Worship and Being Human in a Digital Age, Mueller argues that in-person embodied sacramental worship is an antidote to our fast-paced, distracted digital lives. Today he still believes that, but he also concedes that online components of the church are necessary. He says, I feel most comfortable thinking that it always needs to be parallel, that there always needs to be encouragement for in-person participation, if health and distance allow it, for experiencing bodily not only the sacraments, but the engagement of our senses. But with health and distance as part of the equation, we do need to provide digital options for people. Thompson said churches need to have thoughtful conversations with their community and ask the questions that will lead them to serve their congregation best. He asks, what did we learn about what it means to be church during the pandemic? How did these tools help us? How did they make things harder? How do we want to be with people moving forward? I think there's room for, hopefully, some experimentation. Determining participation in digital worship isn't simply a question whether a church has the resources, both monetary and bodily, to provide such opportunities. John White, a deacon and ELC executive for worship, says, we're in an interesting position right now because there are some deep theological questions that parallel the technical ones, and we're taking our time to not rush to answers. So it would be difficult to give concrete answers to these questions, but more to note that the questions will continue to be in the front for all of us for some time as we navigate these waters as church and world. Part of the sensitivity of parsing those big questions is that Lutherans are centered inward in sacrament, Mueller said. Our liturgy is meant not only to be multisensory and embodied, but participatory. Mueller believes congregations need to make sure they're asking questions and talking through answers rather than thinking they're absolute paths forward right now. During the pandemic, he said, my experience showed that people can experience community online, and they can also experience divine presence, which in some ways is surprising to people. What I learned through my experience, and now through other people who watch primarily online, is that they are experiencing grace in the gospel while being online. We are all needing to take this into account, and in some ways, having to think theologically about it in retrospect. People now worship online, and there is no going back. Unlike most congregations, Faith Lutheran in Flower Mound, Texas, got on the digital bandwagon early. When Rusty Sullivan began his call as pastor of Faith in 2010, the congregation didn't have any digital ministry. There weren't even projector screens in the church, he said, and that was fine. But we went to work pretty early to say, listen, if we're going to be a place for all people, and all means all, if we want to be able to connect with people of different backgrounds and interests and passions, we're going to need to diversify the way in which we're going to share the gospel, he said. Faith created an in-house digital ministry, and the congregation's first online broadcast took place in 2017. The church had been online for only a few months when the lone staff member who ran the streaming system was hospitalized on a Saturday night, and Faith couldn't broadcast its service the next day. That Monday, Sullivan received a call from someone in rural Wyoming questioning why the Sunday service hadn't been broadcast. The man explained he'd been gathering with about 20 other people each week for nearly 2 months to watch Faith services online and then have lunch and discuss the sermon. They didn't have a church close by, but they were connected with us, Sullivan said, and after I apologized profusely to him, and I said to him, I tell you what, you hang in there with us, and I promise our failure to adequately plan will not happen again. We've never missed a broadcast since. And Sullivan said communicating the importance of digital media was difficult at that time because from 2017 to 19, only about a dozen of the ELCA's 125 largest congregations were doing any meaningful work online. Online worship was often criticized by others in ministry, he said, adding, that wasn't authentic church to them. Beginning in March 2020, Sullivan started fielding around 15 calls a day from those same colleagues and many others asking how to build an online presence. As game-changing as the printing press was to the Reformation, so too is digital technology for our 21st century ministry mission, he said. That was the truth prior to the pandemic, which is why we were already heavily invested years before it happened, but now the world has experienced church in a new way. It was a mistake to think we can or should put the genie back in the bottle. Thompson, once a digital skeptic, agreed. In her book, The Virtual Body of Christ in a Suffering World, Thompson chronicles her life after being diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and shares how digital tools helped her heal. To my shock, digital spaces were spaces where I could feel most myself when I was really sick because in-person communication was really, really painful. People would look at my body, which looked like I was dying, and that determined the conversation, she said. Thompson noted St. Paul's admonition in 1 Corinthians 12, that the members of the body who seem weakest are the least dispensable. Those are the people on whom the church should be focused most fully, she said. Some people are not coming back to church because they like being in their PJs on Sunday morning, she acknowledged, but a lot of people are immunocompromised. Some, when COVID started, were 87 years old and now they're 90. Many will not come back. For people with children with significant sensory issues, worshiping in home is a better experience for their family. Many of our churches are not ADA accessible, and there's a lot of barriers to in-person worship. We can be much more discerning now than we could have been back before the pandemic, she continued. There are ways that digital worship is inferior to in-person, but now it's a great time to be saying as a church, how can we use these tools strategically? Daniel Kirschbaum, ELCA director for Young Adult Ministry, said one question he heard asked most often during COVID was, is a real community something we could accomplish in a digital world? After helping launch Abide, an online small group ministry for young adults in 2020, Kirschbaum had an answer. Yes, 100% yes, he said. Community and connection happened in a digital space because we were still able to create new relationships. They had, if anything, more connection to one another. So how will those connections change and develop in a post-COVID world? Something Sullivan has emphasized time and again with his own digital skeptics is that faith and the other similar congregations are interested in digital worship, not as a way of putting on a show, but as a means of increasing connection. We don't want an audience. We want a church, he said. That's also why we're always trying to encourage them to connect where they are. Building relationships that matter is our congregation's tagline. You cannot love from afar. You can connect in terms of transferring information and concerns, but you've got to love close up and personal. And that we're called to love God and love people, and that has to translate into some real and tangible ways. Faith encourages online followers to join a small group or to find other ways to connect to people in their area, Sullivan said. After the congregation recently worked on a build with Habitat for Humanity, he mentioned it during a service, and subsequently many of Faith's small groups around the country also volunteered locally with the organization. Pre-COVID, Sammy Kelly and Michelle Barra met while both serving at New Life Evangelical Lutheran Church in New Tripoli, Pennsylvania. They bonded over recognizing that digital media was a ministry and that many congregations need help navigating that ministry. In 2019, they co-founded DigiEvangelism to help spiritual communities reach people online. The company provides digital ministry guides, courses, and reviews to help leaders be church online. DigiEvangelism exists to aid groups in building their digital media presence, yet Barra believes online resources could also support in-person endeavors. Churches who are going to thrive after this are going to be the ones who have both options open, who maintain a digital presence to give opportunities to those who geographically aren't close to them, who don't want to come anymore, or are younger folks who is not timely or convenient for them. But you can't work at a food bank digitally. You can't have a school backpack fundraiser digitally. It's not just about you. It's about why do you go to church anyway? To follow Jesus, to do what he says to do, to feed the hungry, clothe the sick. And we do those things in relational and impersonal ways. Some ELCA congregations already discussing what many see as part of the future of digital worship, expanding into the metaverse. I just got my first Oculus 6 to 8 months ago, said Sullivan, referring to the virtual reality headset. As soon as I put my Oculus on, I thought, this is awesome. And if it's awesome for me to play a game, then why wouldn't it be awesome for me to share the gospel? I don't know yet how we're going to do that, but I certainly think it's going to be a next step for us. Hope Palm Desert, an ELCA congregation in Palm Desert, California, sees the metaverse as the natural next step in expanding its online presence. Rick Baylard, online leader of Hope Palm Desert, noted that churches utilizing the metaverse aren't novel. Life Church has existed solely in the metaverse since 2016. It's just a new world now, he said. You're not going to be able to do church as your grandparents did church 10, 15 years down the road. No one in their 30s or younger are going to go to a church in which the technology is so far behind. Philip Ledour, ELCA Program Manager for Innovation and Ideas, said his work is focused on how people outside the ELCA are finding meaning and belonging. The metaverse is one of those places where that's happening, he said. Our team has spent time in the metaverse and are discovering some of the unique ways people are using that space to create community. For example, the deaf and hard of hearing community has a large presence in social virtual reality worlds. Not only can they educate people about their community, they create their own hangout space and sign in real time with other users. Similarly, Ladur said, neurodivergent users have entered the metaverse to create their own immersive worlds that convey their experience of the physical world to their friends and family. The goal of utilizing any digital media, even the metaverse, isn't to use technology for its own sake, Baylard said. If you're in a rural area where your people are still coming to church with a horse and buggy that works for you, then keep doing it, he said. We're not saying there's one method, all online. You have to use it. We're just saying there's a big world out there, and if we can use technology to reach people we can't even see right now, why would you even not want us to do that?